Hey everyone, this is Made for Music. I am your host, Duncan Byerjohn. I grew up in the greater Seattle area and have lived in the Pacific Northwest my whole life. There is a wonderful, vibrant music scene up here with an incredibly welcoming community. And growing up, music was my ultimate passion, but I didn't know how to get started. So this podcast will explore the Northwest music scene, how to navigate it, the resources available to you, and most importantly, the stories behind the people making things happen. This is Made for Music. Welcome to Made for Music. Today's friend of the podcast is an incredible vocalist, songwriter, and businesswoman. She released her debut EP, Long Night, back in 2016. She's currently collaborating with episode 12 guest, Jake Crocker, on her next project, which will feature a transition from soul to pop. Earlier this year, she launched an app, Park Ave, which is designed to connect artists and producers, songwriters, anybody interested in the music biz in the local community, foster dialogue around the scene. So please welcome the woman with the platinum voice, a creative powerhouse, and someone who shares my fear of dark water, Scarlett Park.
So real. Hey.
How's it going?
So good, so good. We're actually on the water right
now. We are.
I am totally fine with being on the water, just not in dark water.
I'm the same way. My imagination so just goes wild if I can't see what's beneath me.
I don't want to know how many sharks, bodies, anything is below.
Yeah. No, thank you. Like, I'm fine. Like, I was in Costa Rica in the, like, years ago.
Oh, yeah, when you can see the bottom.
Yeah.
And I'm for sure.
All good. It was even, I went to a birthday party in, like, sixth grade, and it was at the Redmond Pool, which is not deep, but the lights were super dim, and it was, like, dark in the pool. And the whole time, I was, like, just sitting, they had, like, these floating platforms, and I just sat on that the whole time. I was like,
you're like, look, I know this is a pool, but I don't know what you people are up here.
Exactly.
Redmond,
I'm like,
so.
Not about it.
Same.
But yeah, that'd be, I feel like there's some super meta song that could come out of that, of like dark water.
I feel like that could be definitely a metaphor for a lot of things in life.
Yeah. Speaking of music and life, I'm assuming you were born and
I mean, it's questionable whether I'm here or not.
I mean, sometimes I don't remember whether or not I was, so I just leave it up there.
So let's start at the beginning. You were born.
Yeah. So did you grow up in like a musical family, or how did music come into play?
Music came into play when Disney introduced me to The Little Mermaid, and I saw Ariel sing. And something, it's almost like I remember the moment in my childhood, I think I was like 4 or 5, when I saw The Little Mermaid, and I was like, oh my God, that movie's about me. It's me. Like, I'm a singer, and I am stuck in a world of water, dark water. I just need to get out of here. So I just really fell in love with music, like, through Disney movies. And my family was kind of conservative growing up, very Christian. So I was in church choir, which I then moved to opera when I was 12, 13. I performed in opera competitions around the state of Washington, which is a little known fact. The song that I sang was Amarilli Mia Bella. It was an Italian opera. And so then I did that, and then, you know, sucked because I was always meant to sing, like, you know, like soul upbeat music, and there was just too many rules in opera. So yeah. I was like, I'm just like, I don't want to follow all these rules. It's like so many things you have to think about. Like, you have to stand straight. You have to wear the right shoes. Like, anyways, I don't know if that's true, but
yeah.
I just felt there was too many rules. So I moved on to jazz in high school and in college, and then I dropped out of college because the music program was cut because the director got into some trouble and got fired. And so I was on a scholarship for vocals, and so my scholarship got cut. And so I was like, I don't really want to pay for an education. Like, I was totally down to learn things for free and sing. And it's actually where I taught myself piano when I was like 20, 21. Some of my fellow singers, you know, were songwriters, and I was like amazed watching them. Like, how do you do that? Like, how do you construct these songs out of nothing? And how do you play piano and sing? And so they kind of showed me that. And I, once I was done with school, I was just kind of lost for a little bit, couple years, and then was just decided to start music.
Cool.
Yeah, writing my own.
So did the writing then? Did that start when you were with those other singers?
I used to write poems.
Okay.
So I had a couple poems published when I was younger in
middle
school.
Okay.
So lyrics are really big for me. It's just, how many times am I going to say them?
That was
so
classic though.
That
was classic.
So I love writing. Lyricism is like my pride and joy. It's, you know, and being able to then translate the emotion behind the poem through vocals is really where everything is at for me. That's the heart of everything for me.
For sure. So you mentioned you were doing poetry in high school. Mm-hmm. And so did you keep that going, or was it once you came, did you stop for a bit? And once you came around to music,
I stopped for it. I always wrote, like, I always had a diary. I was always like free writing. I was always writing, you know, little snippets. Like, every notebook that I have ever owned has always had like little two liners, like up in the corner of just like something I'm thinking about, daydreaming, you know, how I'm feeling. Or I'm notoriously bad for articulating my feelings to people. And I'm like, well, you know, you'll know how I feel 2 years later when I write a song about you. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't talk about it right now. Like, I haven't digested what's happened. So, I just, for some reason, it takes, I process things in a totally different way, and it comes out in music, which I think that's how it works.
Yeah, absolutely. What would you say you draw from predominantly? Is it just everyday life? Or?
I was so moody. So my parents split up when I was, I'm not going to lie and say that's what made me moody. I was moody forever. I've always been very into the blues and very into, you know, these lamenting style songs. And Regina Spektor was like my babe. So was, you know, when Lana Del Rey came out, I was like, oh, my heart, you know, this, like, she is speaking my language right now. Just her style of singing. And, you know, I think she draws from a lot of the same influences. Amy Winehouse, Adele, Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra, like these really classic, dramatic entertainers. You know, it wasn't just about the vocals. It was also about these people were notorious for just, you know, putting on a show. Like, their real life was a show, and their Anna on stage was a show, and they were just these idols, you know. So I grew up being kind of obsessed with those artists, and especially Frank Sinatra. I think his life is so fabulous, and he was all over the place. You know, he's on stage, he's touring, he's in Vegas, he's hanging out with the president. He's like, I was like, God, it's so fabulous, you know. But he's also he was a really great guy, I just really saw, you know, how music can impact, and I really kind of latched on to artists that wanted to make an impact with their music, as well as not just like the rock stars that are just touring and, you know, partying and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Winehouse being the odd one out there, RIP.
Yeah. I have a sore spot with Frank Sinatra, just because This One's for the Losers is a song my brother would always play anytime. Well, I should say still plays when he beats me in anything. So no, totally get what you're saying. And how much does that play into your aesthetic? Like, when you're making a music video or when you're planning for a record, how much are you thinking about, okay, this is the visual component to it, or the stage component?
Totally. Almost everything in life comes in a package. It's always a multitude of, experiences. Everything has a visual aspect, everything has an emotional aspect, everything has a mental aspect and a mental effect. So I like to think about my art in the same way. I had a really hard time finding what my brand was because I was so attached to, you know, Amy Winehouse's vision and these other people. I was like, I want to be them. You know, you have these idols that, you know, I wanted to really be authentic, but I had a really hard time finding out who that was.
Mm-hmm.
Not really sure why or why it took me so long, but I feel in the last year, I really figured out who I was, what I was doing, what my message was, what my brand is, like how to properly package that. And a lot of that, you know, a lot of that came from the last album that I did, which was a huge just trial and error. Like, yeah. Had no idea what I was doing. Had no idea. I had never recorded anything with a live band. I had never, you know, put together any sort of marketing launch. I had never put together, which is kind of, you know, which we'll talk about later, why I started Park Ave. I was completely shooting in the dark.
Yeah.
I was like, where is the manual for this? Where are the steps? Where are, you know, you pull all this different content from all these different places, all these different people, all these different, so everybody has a different opinion on how you should do everything. And it's really important that you do package and market yourself and get that across to the people that you want to hear it, you mm-hmm. know, because your music is written for certain people. It's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, and that's okay. But the hardest part is making sure that the people that need to hear your music hear it.
Absolutely.
And a big part of that is promoting it the right way. And I think through time, my record Long Night will find the right people. But I had no idea what I was just so lost. I had never played in a band until I was 20, 21, 22. You know, I mm-hmm. mean, and then I moved to Seattle when I was late 22, 23. And started playing with the musicians around here, and I just had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea how to talk to a drummer and tell them what kind of beat I was looking for with my songs. I had no idea how to anything. I just, like, literally nothing. I was like, I love music and I like singing, and I think that's how I introduced myself.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Scarlett. I like to sing. And people are like, cool, like,
yeah,
what
me
are
too.
You doing, like, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, no, I think it's really important how you put everything together. And I tried to my best with Long Night. I don't know if many people know this, but the album is actually written and I put it together to be the beginning of the night to the end of a very long night. So it starts at 7 p.m. and then
oh, very cool.
The next song is about 9 p.m. The next song is about 11 p.m. The next song is about 1 a.m. The next song is 3 a.m. And then the final song, which is an acoustic song, just piano and saxophone and vocals. It's one of those songs that I would see myself listening to on a porch, watching the sun come up, drinking coffee, thinking, the fuck happened last night?
Right on.
So I, you know, that was my kind of vision and package for that record. But
yeah.
Whether it got across, I don't know.
I was actually going to ask you about how you went about writing and recording that record.
So, God, what songs are on there? It's been forever. It's been 2 years. I can't believe it. Fallen, Black Velvet, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so I wrote all of the songs lyrically. I write all of my own lyrics. Fallen, I had a powwow with Skylar Mayhall and Nick Foster, just with a piano and a guitar at a house in Ballard. And I had the song kind of written up, and I did write it after a long night, and it's written after the line, you know, it was a long night. And so I went to Skylar and I didn't have the hook written yet. I had no idea. I wrote the song on guitar. It's the only song I've ever written on guitar. I own a guitar. I never play it ever. If you meet me, you see that I have like long claws on my hands which they're very pointy, and I do like get them filed to an actual point when I get them done for protection, because I'm like a small girl, and I, let's be honest, nobody like can actually have time to pepper spray. Seattle's pretty dangerous these days. Shout out.
Shout out to the city of Seattle for
girls, get your nails nice and pointy, because these things will kill a motherfucker. Okay, so people are like, you trying to kill somebody with those? I'm like, actually,
yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
People don't want to mess with me. I'm 5'2" and I gotta have something, okay? So anyway. You can laugh. Okay.
That's awesome. No, that's hilarious.
Oh my god. So they really helped me put that together. And basically the whole band that I had, I was really lucky. I had an amazing band from start to finish. We were together for about 3 years. Heather Thomas, Marina Christopher, Frank Vitolo. Bobby Jimmy was on drums after Heather Thomas. And Jarrett Samples, I love you. I didn't forget you. You were just really important. And
best
I
for
wanted
last.
To save you for the last. Charles Wicklander played keys in the late half of it. Yes, so that was that. And it was a great run. And we went to record the second album. And this producer, Maurice Jones, who's just such a badass, I love him. His wife, Laura Lavi Jones, is my lawyer.
Oh,
and
nice.
She's an amazing, fantastical woman. I was like, I'm looking for a studio where I want to feel comfortable. The last studio I recorded in, you know, I was kind of all over the place. I did a little bit here, a little bit there. I want to just record start to finish. We've been playing these songs forever. They're tired. They need to be recorded. They need to be spiced up. Help. I'm lost with where to go. I never felt like I could fully communicate, like I said, with my band. Even after 3 years of playing together, something was always off. Not in a bad way, but just for me, I was like, what? Can we pick up the drum beat? Can we do this? Or can we, I need it to sound more like this. And I think the whole time what I was really trying to explain was I want to be a pop star. I actually don't want to be playing in a 6-piece band, not because it doesn't sound badass, but just because that's what was missing. Was I want to be on stage and have outfit changes and have, you know, people just going dancing their faces off, and my songs are really emotional, and I didn't know how to bring them to the next level with a band. I just didn't. I didn't know what was missing. And then walks in Jake Crocker. We played Capitol Hill Block Party last year, and he caught a little bit of my set, and he kind of goes, hey, if you ever really liked your set, if you ever want to, you know, hey, I'm Jake Crocker. Like, kind of like, let's chat.
Right.
And I had my eye on Jake Crocker from afar when I saw him play with St. Clair, and, you know, things just kind of fell into place.
That's awesome.
It was super cool. It was like I had been hoping and wishing and praying to find a really good producer, because it's like impossible to find.
Yeah, especially because everyone's got someone
when
on.
When you're making music with people, it's chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, and 100%. It's a very specific kind of chemistry. You have to not only have the same long-term goals, because, you know, once you make a track together and you put it out, you're in a committed relationship with that person, with that song. That's your baby. You know,
yeah.
you literally are legally bound together with that song. So anyway, Maurice Jones. I am such a rambler.
No, keep up.
Yeah. Take notes. No, just kidding. So we record 2 full days, and he, at the end of the second day, he like swivels around in his little swivel chair, folds his hands, puts them on his lap, and he's like, who's your audience for this record? And I looked at him, I was like, I fucking hate that question.
Yeah. That's...
It's the worst, you know, because that is the thing that every artist needs to know. Every business person needs to know.
Yeah.
I mean, every human needs to know. Who's your audience? Who gives a shit about you? You know, I mean, real talk. And I looked at him, I was like, I would love to play like upbeat music. I want people to hear these lyrics. I feel that, you know, that they're songs that I would have wanted to listen to when I was going through shit. You know, my songs are written for people who are going through shit.
Right.
And he he's like, well, right now, you know, your audience is 30, 40, 50 year olds. And I just looked at him. I'm like, don't tell me that. That's not what I want to hear. We just recorded 2 full days.
Right.
And he goes, I think you need to be doing pop music. He's like, you know, this is your second album. You know, you record another album like this and you're in this genre. You can pivot. You know, you only released an EP and he starts laying down the law and, you know, like dropping the knowledge. And I'm like looking at him kind of like, shit.
Right.
You know, but it was the thing that I needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And Jarrett, my guitarist, was in the room. And he kind of looks at me with this look of just saying everything with his eyes. You know, hey, we've been in a band for 4 years. Am I fired? Hey.
Oh, no.
You know, and I see, like, just, like, my heart kind of sinks because I feel really committed to this project. I mean,
yeah,
we all do.
For sure.
I have these amazing artists. They're all, everybody that was in the band, they were all amazing musicians. And they all had their own project. They're all songwriters too. Like, mm-hmm. It's such a unique group of people. And I was just like, felt like I was about to break up with 6 people. I sent out an email 2 days later. I talked to my boyfriend about it. And, you know, I said, well, what do you think? He says, I, what are you waiting for? I think that's exactly what you need to do. And I mean, it's like quitting your job, basically.
Yeah.
And moving to a completely new field. That's what it felt like, you know. It's like, okay, well, it was just crazy, you know. So it still kind of blows my mind now that we're about to release the new single, my new pop single. It's like I'm really excited, but it was just I really can't express like how hard it was to make
right.
that decision, because I was just felt so committed to the people and to not only the people that I played with, but the people that came to the shows and the people that had supported, you know, like, is that betraying?
No, I think what'll be exciting is to see the growth and evolution. You know, if you become a fan of someone and you see them grow as an artist and
yeah.
a musician, are you going to still play some of the old songs, or are you like,
no.
full? No. Okay, cool.
No, because I, you know, and that was a big question, that I've been kind of pondering is, you know, moving forward, like, what do the live shows look like? Because I don't have my band anymore, and I
Fair
will point. Be playing, you know, to a track, and which is weird for me, because so much of my shows were like these badass live solos, you know, guitar solos and sax solos. And when you play to a track, it's like, you can't really just call stuff on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I really want to like make it work, and I still want to, you know, I'm obviously, I'm a definitely, I don't know. I'm going to think outside the box and see what I can do to still incorporate some of the other songs, because I love playing them.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if there was a small cameo.
Yeah. That there could even be like this is totally off the cuff here, but like a cool reimagining too of some of them now that
yeah.
you've got like this new avenue that you're taking. Like, how do these songs come back?
Well, I still have all the original stems from those songs.
That's
so
clutch. There you go.
Maybe.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. So we kind of talked about, you know, this transition that you're going through. You mentioned how you connected with Jake. How did your writing process change this time around? Because last time you mentioned it was a bit of trial and error. You had kind of the songs written down. And was most of it in the box this time,
like,
within
Ableton? What is the
Ableton?
Writing process?
Yeah.
The songs that we have done so far were already written, and they were songs that I had been performing with my band. So I recorded all the vocals to the instrumental tracks that we tracked in those 2 days at the studio. But I am adding 3 songs. Like, basically, they're all songs that I've written already.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jake and I might collaborate on one of them where we start completely from scratch.
Cool.
But I have a pretty big bank of songs that I kind of saved. you know, I didn't want them. I don't know why. I don't want to say that. I don't know why I saved them and never played them with a band. One of them is called Never Going Home. The other one is called Show's Over. And I have another one that I've been kind of working on called, I don't know what it's going to be called, but the first line is, "You're not coming over even if you're sober." And
That's a sweet line.
yeah, I really like that song. And that one is just lyrics. I don't have anything to that. So that one might be the one that Jake and I compile together.
So is it like lyrics, or you also have the melody, or it's.
I kind of have, you know, "Even if you're sober, you're not coming over." Da na 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 na
Cool.
na na.
So do you like to write the lyrics first, then
You
go,
know,
or
I
is
don't
it
feel like I really
very.
have a choice in any of my writing. It is totally an unwilling process. I write whatever comes out.
Yeah.
I try and poke the beast within by free writing sometimes. So I'll just start. I have like a five senses rule where I close my eyes and I write down two sentences that explain what is around me, describe with my five senses. And
Cool.
usually from that, like the purge begins and
Yeah.
like some topic emerges. And then from there, my writing is more kind of figuring out the flow. And so it is all like all vocals and lyrics first, and then it's usually putting piano or something to it.
Cool.
It can be hard to pinpoint what's going on, so you know, that's just the easiest way that I found to really focus in on, you know, it's kind of like my om moment of like, okay, where are you? What's around you? Like to get to what is trying to be written about, you know, like
Yeah.
how are you feeling? You know, my songs are all about my feelings,
Yeah.
so.
Well, it's like the anchor you've because like you said,
Exactly.
sometimes it's hard to get out what you are feeling. So you put the anchor down and then you just let it flow on out. Cool. Well, so the single that's gonna have come out by this time is Moonlight. Do you want to talk a little bit about how that song came to be?
Oh, God. How candid do I want to be about this? So this song is about the last year that I went through. Yeah, the last year and some change. I started the year of 2017 being literally hit by a car. I was a pedestrian, and on New Year's Eve, before I was about to play a show, a New Year's Eve show down in Jazz Bones in Tacoma, I was run over.
Oh my gosh.
And resulted in pretty serious injuries. Huge concussion, couldn't walk upstairs for like 2 months without feeling like I was gonna pass out. And anyway, so I'm going through all of this, and I had no one. And the friends I had this you know, these friends that I was hanging out with very regularly for years, 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 and really got turned on. And it really kind of fucked me up, you
Yeah.
know. I don't have a very good family life, so you know. Of course, there are people that were there and were supportive. My sister is always amazing. But anyway, so this song came from just the feeling of betrayal, the feeling of damn. Felt like I was really part of something. I felt like I was really committed to this friend group, and I didn't feel like I had any support back when push came to shove. I also went through a really kind of tumultuous breakup at that same time. So yeah, it really came from that. And I had a really hard time finding friends when I was growing up. I had this weird kind of like I had this weird thing of like, I really wanted to hang out with people all the time, but I'm secretly also a loner. So like I start hanging out with somebody in like an hour and I'm like, God, I just really want to be alone. And so
Yeah.
I was like an in denial introvert. So anyways, I kind of went through this and it was like very hard. And this song Moonlight is about that. It's, you know, it's just the song starts off, "Put my head down, shuffle my feet, you'll never get the best of me." You know, like literally I was shuffling my feet because I was very crippled from my accident, you know, and I think in the last year I've really rebuilt myself in so many ways, and it's kind of cool now to be on the opposite side of that. But it really, and the music video is about this. So it's, I don't know, I love this song because it's just like it came out in like 5 seconds. I actually wrote the hook with some friends of mine from The Good Husbands. They are a local rap group.
Nice.
And they had a beat that inspired this song. So shout out Good Husbands, love you guys. So the hook is, I collided with the earth and met my maker in the eyes. I should have turned away, but I stayed. I collided with the earth and met my maker in the eyes. I should have turned to go, but I love trouble. And it basically is just, I was in denial that these friends weren't my friends. And I kept trying to hang out with them. I kept trying to go back and like pretty much like begging these people to stay and like care about me. And it finally dawned on me one day, like, what the fuck? Like, I'm sorry. I don't need to make anybody care about me. I'm fabulous.
But meet these nails.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, meet my nails. So, but it was, I had a rough start to the year, and a lot of this album comes from that, and me really having to take a real hard look at myself and, you know, be like, you know, you're worth more than this. You know, you have overcome so much in your life, not going to be torn down by, you know, these people that really have no control over you. You have control over what's going on in your life, and you have control over where you go, and you have control over what tears you down and what doesn't. And man, I was waking up listening to inspirational podcasts, sad as fuck every day. I was like, everything's gonna be fine. Yeah. And I'm, you know, my back's like broken in my bed, and I'm like, can't move. It was bad. And I don't know.
What kind of tunes were you listening to during that time?
I was not listening to music. I was pissed. I listened to two albums this year. One was Kimo Meraki. He's a local artist. I love him. He's
high
amazing.
Dive
he yeah,
booker,
he books
yeah.
for the High Dive. He gave me one of his CD. We were both playing at the airport this year, and I heard him sing, and I was like, you're amazing. I don't know anything about you. We've never met, but do you have a, like, can I please buy a CD? And that is like the only CD that I have in my car. It's like one of the most, I sing my heart out to it all the time. And then second was Kanye's new album. Yay. I can hands down say that it was the worst fucking year of my life. Like I thought the worst thoughts you can possibly think. I treated people like shit after I was treated like shit. I went through the full cycle. I grieved like hard and now I just like kind of like don't give a fuck.
Right.
You know,
well,
in the best way though. Yeah.
Shaping up to be one hell of a year. You know what I mean?
Stoked. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Before we jump into Park Ave, which I'm super excited to talk about, just for musicians or anyone who's up and coming, what's like your advice of like getting started or re-entering for someone who's maybe taken some time off and is like, I'm coming back. What would be your words of wisdom for him?
Let's see. Words of wisdom. One, don't give a shit. I know that's very cliche and has been said 1 million, 1 billion, 1 trillion times over, but just don't, you know, every day is a new day. And every day is an opportunity to wake up and, you know, accomplish one more thing off your long list of things to do. And I'm really bad at looking at my list of to-dos and just feeling completely overwhelmed. And I'm so far from where I want to be, and I have no idea how I'm going to make it there, blah, blah, blah. And you feel like you have all these missing things. I don't know how to produce my own music. I don't know how to do this, da, 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 da. Start somewhere. Every day, start somewhere. Even if it's just you practice for 20 minutes that day. Even if it's the smallest, tiniest, little bittiest, tiniest little thing you can do. You know, for me, sometimes, some days, that's putting on my makeup. Some days I don't want to leave the house, but I put on my makeup and then I'm like, well, this makeup was expensive. So if I don't leave the house and get some shit done today, I'm wasting my day, you know? Yeah. And, you know, it's, find that thing that, that drives you to get out, and getting out is very important.
Yeah. And speaking of which, you host a lot of mixers.
I do.
And this Park Ave, well, I'll let you take the reins here. So what is Park Ave? How did it come to be, and what should people be on the lookout for with it?
Park Ave, it's been so fun so far. It sounded like I was about to be like, and it's over. No, yeah. It's not.
Just kidding. We're shutting it down.
JK, yeah. So I'm actually glad that I mentioned my accident, because the Park Ave came from me re-injuring my back in October. I felt like I had got to a place where, you know, I could almost run again. Like, I almost had to have back surgery. It was, like, that bad. So, like, I got to a place. I had set up to quit my job at this event place that I was working at. This is pre-Park Ave. Like, I had no idea that I was going to start Park Ave in October of last year. Like, I hadn't even thought of anything like that. So, August, I quit my job that I had been managing this event space for 4 years. And my plan is to move to San Diego. And I end up meeting my current boyfriend. And, you know, we're like dating and everything's fine. And I throw out my back. Like, I throw it out to the point that I can't go to the bathroom. I can't take a shower. Can't put on my own socks. Like, seriously a godsend that I met my boyfriend, because he had known me for a month and stayed at my house and took care of me. Like, what kind of guy, like, does that? He was just an angel. He's like, I'll put your socks on. Like, you know, I'll do whatever you need. I'll put ice behind you, you know. But I was out for 2 weeks. And so this is in October. And I'm a social butterfly, you know. And I had already gone through all this stuff. And I'm like, I was finally feeling like myself again. Like, all right, we're gonna do this thing. And, you know, starting to schedule recording with my band, get back on the horse and everything. And I got knocked down again completely, 100%. And Marco, who's my boyfriend, kind of looked at me and he goes, well, maybe there's a reason that you're down. What can you be doing right now? How can you be making good use of your time? You know, and I'm like, I don't know, you know, for days. Nothing. I'm down. Like, this is the worst thing that could have happened, you know, and just being negative, negative, negative. And then I start thinking, you know, okay, how can I be productive when I'm at my house? How can I be productive? I should just start reaching out to people and seeing, you know, but what am I reaching out for? Like, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? And I picked my brain and just sat there for weeks. Until finally I was like, I wish there was just a place that I could just talk to a bunch of artists at once. And, you know, while I'm down or while I'm at home or wherever I am, or, you know, I'm about to record this album, I wish I could just, you know, be getting the information, because I wasn't able to go out. I'm at shows, or I'm here, I'm there, and you meet people and they're like, yeah, I own a recording studio, or I can introduce you to this person. And it's all about networking, right? It's like this whole industry is about that. And oh my God, I just really wish there was a place that I could talk to verified people. Obviously there's Facebook groups and all of that, but I was like, I want like a private place where I know that everybody on there is an artist. I know that everybody on there, I can, you know, I wish it was like LinkedIn. You had like a profile where you could see what they're doing and you can read a little blurb about them. And Marco was like, why don't you just create that? And I kind of really thought of that. You know, I'm like, my mom was an entrepreneur. My dad, you know, I have entrepreneurs in my family. And that was like kind of like my late game plan. You know, like, I'd love to start a business when I'm like 40 or whatever. And
yeah.
Like, you know, I was not like a Silicon Valley kid, like, you know, spending my whole life trying to start anything. And so I was like, fuck. Let's do it. Let's dive in. And we started really mapping it out. And I mean, he's 100% my business partner. Like, he's been with me since the very beginning, every step of the way. We found this the company Mighty Networks. They make like templated apps, basically. And we were the, I think, I'm going to say this, it might be wrong, you can tweet me later if I'm wrong. But I think we were like the first music, like we're the first of anything like that on, right. especially through Mighty Networks. And they've actually been really cool with working with me to integrate things that are like necessary to our community. So like they're putting in, integrating a SoundCloud link onto the member profile. And so now you can actually go in there and just go to somebody's profile and you can instantly click their music instead of having to go to their website, and maybe they don't have a website, or maybe blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's honestly really hard to just find people's music because everybody uploads their shit on a different place. And, you know, when you're like looking at an artist, you're trying to network with somebody, or somebody's like, hey, do you want to play a show together? And then you look them up and it's just a nightmare. The whole thing is a nightmare. The whole music scene, local music scene, okay? I'm obviously not talking about people way up in the higher ranks that have everything figured out, and it's like all, like the local music scene is just so hard to navigate.
Yeah.
And it just got me thinking on this tangent of, you know, I wish that I was, you know, if I could meet more people, I could play more interesting shows. You know, I feel like I've played with some of the same people over and over again, and I feel like the same bands always play at the same venues. Like, where are the, I know there's more venues. I know there's more places that could have live music. How do we get live music there? Like, da-da-da-da-da. It would be cool if artists could all come together and we could demand better green rooms and we could rate venues and have accountability and all this stuff. And, you know, and now it's just snowballed into so many more things. And but it's super exciting, and I've met amazing people, and I am continually inspired by the stuff that people share. We have 375 members now. We just launched in January, and it's like really humbling because now people, it's just growing because people are inviting other people.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I don't know. It's crazy.
So I was in LA a couple weeks ago, and I get a call from the guy who's producing my EP, and apologize for sharing this. He goes, dude, I just matched with someone on Tinder and we've been going back and forth about this app you have to hear about. And I was like, go for it. What is it? And he's like, it's Park Ave.
What?
And I had actually just been messaging you about setting up this interview.
No way.
And he was so excited. And it just cracked me up that it was like through a Tinder conversation that I was like, you should be on this app platform. And
oh my God.
And I was like, oh dude, I actually am going to interview the person. He's like, well, are you on it yet? And I was guilty of not having been on it. And he goes, set it up right now. And so we're like on the phone,
so
and
I'm sitting liked
there.
It?
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's like pretty active on there. And
awesome.
So in within minutes I was like up and I had put in my app or whatever, but it was just hilarious to me because, as I think a lot of people are in the music scene, if like, I don't know how to do this. And he's very introverted. He's like, I don't know where to go, but I wish there was a platform. And that was what led him to this. And it's really awesome.
Thank
what
you.
You're building. And I think it's a great resource for so many reasons, but one of them being anytime you do have that question, you just put it out there and you've got a whole group of people that can be like, here's my take on your problem.
And so, you know, obviously now that we're over the hurdle of like, how do we get people to join? You know, now that there's 300 plus members, our main goal is, you know, how do we get people to engage more? So for me, the answer is people will engage when there's opportunity.
Yeah.
And so we've started to partner with businesses around town to offer discounts to members so that eventually, I hope by our 1 year mark, by January, everybody who's a Park Ave member will have either a card or a member number that they can go to, you know, X amount of businesses and get a member discount.
That's awesome.
So, you know, like, obviously a huge one would be Guitar Center, recording studios. And the reason you'd get a discount is because, you know, we want to provide verified artists to these companies. And so everybody who's a member, you know, goes through the verification process, and we do vet we vet the membership every month. So anybody who hasn't set up their profile photo and it is just like a dead account, we let them know you have a week to fill out your account and make a post or comment, or we're going to delete you. Because it's, you know, that's another thing. It's like, we don't want to be like, we've got 800 members and 100 of them are active. You know, it's like, No, this is, if you're going to be active in the community scene, be active in the community scene. If you don't want to be, that's fine. You know, like it's, You're busy, whatever. But we want to really cultivate just community. Seattle lacks community. I'm sorry if you disagree with me all you want, it lacks community. There's niche after niche after niche of, and click after click after click, but at the end of the day, you're never gonna see all artists in one place.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing, is that there's no way to collectively reach Seattle's music scene.
Yeah.
You know, like you can make a Facebook post that's gonna get, you know, it's gonna get lost in a day because everybody posts on there. Whereas, you know, it's cool because, you know, within the app, you know, we can feature posts. So we've been, you know, and anybody who posts an album that they just released, we feature it on there for 3 days.
Oh, awesome.
So that everybody can see it and check it out. And because I think it's really important to get feedback from your peers and not just, you know, it's also hard to get like good feedback on your stuff that you release. And you really need it. Like if your stuff sucks, like, dude, tell somebody if their stuff needs something, you know, like, hey, you could have done way better on your vocals. I know you could have. You were lazy. Or whatever, you know, like people need to hear that stuff. And dude, hey, I don't think that you're really meant to be a vocalist. Have you tried something else? That sucks to hear, but you know what? Like, don't waste your time.
Yeah.
Don't waste anybody's time. It's the same thing as dating. Like, if you're not that into that person, break up with them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's,
I'm sorry. I am such a harsh person.
No, that's something that needs to be, especially with music and something creative, the way you. It was like you were saying when you were recording your album, you got heard probably something you didn't want to hear at that time, which was the album we're recording right now in the studio is not what you should be doing. And at least what I've seen, people are afraid to do that because they don't want someone to turn on them. But if you're open to the feedback,
right,
you can create something so much better. So what, like one of the things that I do is anybody I meet that, you know, I'm looking for some sort of business relationship or artist relationship, whatever it is, I'm like, here's the tunes and I want your candid feedback. I don't want it's good. I also don't want it's bad. I want why.
Yeah.
And what did you like? And one of the things that's the most valuable to me is like the harsher criticism.
Yeah.
Because sure, you're not for everybody, but there's going to be something valuable you can take out of that. Mm-hmm. So Aaron and I just got an email back from a guy I visited with while down there. And he was basically like, hey, y'all overdid it on the production. It's let it breathe. And that was like
feedback.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, because you know, you get your nose in it too, you know what I mean? It's like if you're so close to something, you're not like, oh, the thing over here is what needs to be tweaked. You're just so in it. So again, awesome that you've created that platform and are building towards it. So I think it's super cool. And again, sorry Aaron for sharing that story, but I think it's hilarious. All right, so we've kind of talked about what you're doing currently with Park Ave, inception to now. What does the future look like? Like, what are you hoping to achieve with this?
The future looks good. So with Park Ave, I really want to extend it to a younger generation. I have been working with an alternative high school up in North Seattle, and I have an intern who is a senior in high school, and she is the best thing that happened to me this year, I swear to God, I guess aside from my wonderful boyfriend, of course. But she is amazing, and I met her because her teacher was at one of the shows that I played over the last summer, blah, blah, blah. We got connected. She's an amazing, the teacher, she's an amazing woman who, you know, this alternative school, it's a school full of kids that were nearly dropouts. They're recovering addicts. They have really hard family lives. They, you know, have been in and out of juvie or whatever. I didn't go to an alternative high school, but I did have a pretty like messed up last couple years of high school. Dealt with some like family dramas with, you know, drug addicts and that kind of things and domestic violence. And I almost didn't graduate because of it. And so when I met this teacher, she was, you know, she kind of, she met me in the middle of, you know, this last year, which was the worst year of my life. I am going to officially dub 2017 the worst year of my life. Right here on Made for Music podcast.
Let it be known.
Let it be known. So, but I met Margie and, you know, she goes, I work with these kids that had really troubled, you know, really troubled upbringings, and your music, you know, talks a lot about, you know, these people who have gone through shit, right? Just like we said. And I think that you would be a good person to talk to these kids. And I'm like, oh God, I've never talked to kids in my life. That sounds awful, but sure. You know what? I'm trying anything and everything right now. And it was amazing. And I connected with Kira, and her and I had a really similar story, and we really vibed off of that. And then she also happened to, she's also an amazing singer, and her vibe, you know, I felt drawn to her. Something about her, I was like, I see a little bit of myself, you know, like, and I just know that I would have loved if somebody would have reached out to me, especially like an artist or something, you know, like to be like, hey, do you want to work with me? Even if I was like doing their laundry, you know, like if I can just work with somebody who's doing music for a living, maybe I can figure it out, you know? And so blah, 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 fast forward, da, da, da. I hosted a week long, I taught at that school for 8 hours a day for 5 days, for a full week. And it was the most insane thing I've ever done, but it was amazing. And it was called Making It in the Music Industry. I brought in Jay Crocker that we talked about. I brought in my lawyer, Laura Lavi. I brought in all these people that I've met along the way, and taught all the different aspects of what it takes to actually be an artist and make it, and how many different hats you have to wear and all the different things you have to do. And humble brag, it was the most well-attended week of school that they've ever had.
That's awesome.
And, you know, and it just like, I was like, this feels amazing. You know, mm-hmm. I am a notoriously selfish, like self-loathing person, like the last 5 years of my life, you know, just because I put myself through it, whatever. But to then like turn such a negative year to end it so positively and work with these kids, like I'm going forward to work with the school next year as well to do the mini course, but also to start an intern program where, so Kira works with me and she gets school credit for working with me. And in turn, you know, I get an unpaid intern until she graduates, which then my full intention is to hire her as my, you know, as a Park Ave employee. Cause she's completely helped me start Park Ave 100%. She does all the social media. She replies to all the emails. She posts on there, you know, every day. She's amazing. And for her, it's like, she's like, she loves doing it. So it's awesome. And how many artists need, you know, a little extra help? Like, come
on.
So
many, yeah.
And it's like, what? I can't afford to pay somebody, you know, like full time. And it just kind of clicked on that, like, you've been through all this shit because maybe you can be the person that sees the connection there. You know, that these kids have gone through a lot of shit too. And these artists have also gone through a lot of shit, but these artists can help these kids, you know, and they need some free help, and these kids need to graduate, and they need something that's actually interesting to them. They could get summer credit by going around and being your roadie, carrying your gear. That you show them how to set up your show. You show them how to post and interact on your Instagram and all this kind of crazy stuff. So. That's the plan for Park Ave. It's to build the community in new and exciting and innovative ways, and make it easier to talk about everything and make it easier to find the answers to the questions that you're looking for, and to be, you know, be outside the box in all the different ways. And even if and the cool thing is, thank you technology, like you don't have to leave your house. Like you can just be on the app and you can experience, you know, the community in one place.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. And I can't follow that up with a better segment, so I'm just going to dub this the but speaking of the community, just to wrap things up here, who are artists that we should be looking out for?
The broadcast. I met them through the app.
Nice.
Kind of crazy. my own device working for me, which was super cool. Marco, who I've mentioned a couple times, Marco Karmashev, his Vimeo is Thank You Mark, as well as his Instagram. Check him out, he's amazing. We partnered up to do discounted music videos for the members.
Mm-hmm.
I love producing. I produced my music video for Fallen, produced and co-directed and did a lot of the, you know, wardrobing and et cetera. So I was like, I love doing this, and I would just, you know, I've never had the opportunity to do it again. And along comes Marco, and he's like, well, let's do it. He's like, I want to do music videos. I've been doing weddings, and I've been doing, you know, these extracurricular videos for, you know, with his dad. His dad is the one who started the company.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And so I'm like, let's just like do a series of 4 music videos. We're going to charge $400, which is nothing.
Yeah.
We're going to take $100 down. And let's just find 4 artists and make some badass music videos, because we have the extra time and there's a ton of talent that needs music videos. Because really, artists, shout out. You need a music video that is quality, or if it's not quality, make it such bad quality that it's like, that's the concept.
Yes,
like make it look like it was planned to be like that. Have your music uploaded. Have all of your profile photos the same photo. Also, have your branding on point, aka have the same filters on all of your photos on Instagram. You know your hashtags that people can find you under, because people can follow hashtags on Instagram now. Make sure that every single one of your shows has a Facebook event. Invite all of your friends. Like, you know, and have every single person in your band should be sharing it at least 2 to 3 times.
Yeah, Jared.
So anyway, sorry, that was just a little bit of what you can find me talking about at the Park Ave Mixers or on the app, along with many other artists are posting their kind of tips and tricks with what they've learned. But the broadcast, we filmed their music video for their song Somewhere, and all the videos were filmed in one day, and their concept of the video, the song is about, you know, feeling connected outside, you know, with just everything around you outside, like kind of getting back in touch with nature. And at least that's what I got out of it. Sorry if I'm completely off, but that's my takeaway. So anyways, so we filmed them and it just turned out so fantastic, and they were so fun to work with, and their live shows were amazing. Brody's amazing. Holly's amazing. It's just an interesting sound. It's like a little bit of hip hop, but they've got like a full band behind them. Their new keyboardist is amazing, Alyssa, and she plays harp as well. So I'm hoping soon to like see harp incorporated into their live performance, because that'd be
sweet.
Also, Soltans is a good act. You know, General Mojo's, Whitney Monge, Bodyville Etiquette. I mean, I could go on and on. There's really good music in Seattle.
Yeah. And what we'll do is for each episode, I curate like a Spotify playlist that features each of the artists that we talk about. And so we can offline to collaborate on curate that to get some more local folks on there.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this. It was amazing getting to hear your story, and it's super inspiring, and I really appreciate you just taking time out of your crazy schedule. So thanks so much. Best of luck. Super stoked for you. It's going to be a big year. Thanks again.
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, no matter what happens, it'll be a big year for everyone as long as we make it that way.
Absolutely. Right on. Thank you.
Cheers. Put my head down, shuffle my feet. You'll never get the best of me. Your sticks and your stones are what I used to build a home. And I may have sleepless nights, but I enjoy the moonlight. I collided with the earth and met my maker in the eyes. I should have turned away, but I stayed. I collided with the earth and met my maker in the eyes. I should have turned to go, but I loved your body.
for the first time. Hey, you got something to say. I wouldn't listen anyway. I may have to change my name. Never know me like you say. Sometimes it almost hurts, but you're not really worth that thought. I hope you know. Never gonna see me low. You're never gonna run me down. Cause you're just a king without a crown. I hope you know. Never gonna see me low. Never gonna run me down. You're just a king without a crown. From a bad situation, you were saying so nice, but you ended up in ice, and I couldn't get away from you. I saw when I dodged your trap, and you fell off the map. So long, gonna put my head down, cause there's no turning back now. Cause there's no turning back now. Head down, shuffle my feet. You'll never get the best of me. Your sticks and your stones are what I used to build a home. And I may have sleepless nights, but I enjoy them all.
All right, that was Moonlight by Scarlett Park, produced by episode 12 guest Jake Crocker. It is now out worldwide, the first single from her new project, so be sure to check it out and show them some love. And if you want to listen to the songs and artists discussed during this week's episode, follow Made for Music on Spotify, as we actually curate playlists dedicated to each interview. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please rate us on iTunes or whatever your preferred podcast listening site is. We really appreciate that extra effort, and we will see you next time.